thousands of years. Health insurance. And no employer will guarantee you health insurance for 100 people without no.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hawkeye Resilience Advisors, a full-service security, risk, and crisis management company helping local organizations be prepared before, during, and after crises strike. Hawkeye Resilience helps people make plans before something goes wrong. Business resilience promotes community resilience. For more information, visit HawkeyeResilience.com or call 518-573-9183.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Starbuck in Columbiaville, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Good morning. Hello and good evening. Welcome to the Capital District DSA Good Time Hour. I am your host, Casey, who is not joined by my esteemed colleague, Poche Noir. He is currently in the north of Sweden with his wife at her home. And I hope you're having an amazing time, Bill. Miss you. So, tonight is just me. I'm going to be gabbing away, playing some tunes. I don't have any shtick planned for tonight. If I'm completely honest, I did not have the brain power this month to put the shtick together the way that Poche Noir does. But I will call to attention a couple things that are going on. If you are a registered Democrat, tonight is the Democratic primary. So please go vote if you haven't, if you are interested in that. I forgot that I'm not supposed to do call to actions. Whoops. The primary, their polling sites are open till 9 p.m. There is a movement currently to cast a blank ballot. It's called Blank Biden. It's the only way in New York State to cast a pro-ceasefire vote in Palestine. So if that is something that you're interested in, the poll sites are open till 9 o'clock. I will also say that the opinions tonight are mine and mine alone. They do not reflect the Capital District DSA or WGXC. This is all me, baby. So wanted to mention the vote. And I also wanted to mention that DiNapoli has released some news. DiNapoli is the New York State comptroller. So a new report today that came out says that New York State housing cost burdens are among the highest in the nation. Some information that's pulled from this report show that almost 40%, 38.9% of households in New York pay 30% or more on housing. We're the third highest rate of housing across the United States. There's massive racial disparities that exist among households suffering from housing insecurity. I'll give you a little bit of detail on that. 55% of households headed by a Hispanic person, 50% of households headed by a Black person, 48% of households headed by an Asian person have at least one housing insecurity problem, whereas only 31% of households headed by a white person are experiencing housing insecurity. And those numbers are also accurate for homelessness. They're disproportionately Black, Hispanic, or Latino. The rate of homelessness in our state is about 5 per 1,000 people. It's crazy to hear that. 5 in 1,000 people. It's really scary. We have the highest rate of seniors experiencing housing insecurity in the nation. It's just all kinds of messed up. If you want to read more, you can go to osc.my.gov. That's the Office of the State Comptroller.my.gov, and you can read the full report. One other thing that is in the report is that the Hudson Valley, or the Mid-Hudson region specifically, are among the highest of housing insecurity. More than one third of households in the Mid-Hudson are cost burdened, higher than the regions of the rest of New York, other than in Long Island. So it's really alarming news. I mean, I don't know that I would call it surprising news, but it is incredibly alarming and disheartening. But if this is something that is also alarming and disheartening to you, and you are able to listen to this on your radio, that means, if you're interested, there is a door knock being held this Saturday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. by Housing Justice for All and the Capital District DSA Housing Committee. They'll be knocking doors in Albany. They're calling for the ERA, which is Emergency Rental Assistance and Good Cause Eviction. It's a great group of people. It's always a lot of fun. So if you want to come out to that, come hang out with me, knock some doors. We'll be out there this Saturday. So I just wanted to call attention to those two things. I have a bit of a spiel, a rumination just some thoughts that I've been thinking about in the past month, or honestly, better part of a year, about capitalism and socialism and grief. And I think it's something that probably pertains to a lot of people nowadays, and just like what we've collectively experienced as a nation in the past 4 years and in the past, you know, 6 months. So I'll get a little bit into that, but I'm going to play some music in the meantime as a little break. So this music, Bill and I usually do kind of a theme for every show, but I didn't want to be too much of an Eeyore. The first two songs, Good Morning Rain by Bobby Dobson and Tinseltown in the Rain by the Blue Nile, were thematically about rain because it's quite gloomy out today. But I also really enjoy those songs, so the only common denominator throughout the show tonight is just I enjoy the tunes. So here is Yola Tango with You Can Have It All. Boom, boom, boom. Bye.
Isn't that how the song goes? I wore black jeans and codeine, because I wanted to make sure I seemed relaxed. It's just for contractual reasons I explained. Institution and the industrial happiness.
So that was after Yellow Tango. It was Here's Where the Story Ends by the Sundays, which is just a joy of a song. Broken Heart Still Beats by Miss Ray. And that was Year of Love by Jenny Vall, which that song is off an incredible album by her. Came out, gosh, I don't know. I discovered it during the first pandemic. But yeah, so I've been thinking, I guess, about grieving under capitalism and how the two relate, I guess. Because, you know, it's kind of, I feel as if, like, you're not really allowed to grieve under capitalism. Our society kind of disables grief. And I was thinking, like, what is normal about grief? I guess, to put this into context, my partner is dealing with some loss, somebody he lost somebody he loved very dearly, very recently. Then on a greater scale, we've been dealing with the loss, some loss that we've had, for the better part of a year. And then just, I think we, as a society, I mean, we're watching multiple genocides unfold across the globe, and we have a collectively, I think we never processed the experience of the global pandemic. And I think all of these kind of play into their own forms of grief that we've all collectively had as a society. And I'm sure a lot of us are still dealing with the aftermath of these experiences in our own ways. But I think it's hard because, you know, we're not really able to, because to have the freedom to mourn on our own schedule and in our own time isn't allowed. I mean, we live in a very crippling society where everything is commodified and we don't, our time isn't our own under capitalism. So it's just something I've been thinking about. A story that comes to mind for myself as a personal anecdote, back in, I think it was 2017 or 2018, I was with this person. We were together, and we're not anymore. Not that that matters, but he had just gotten this job with this new company. He had been working there for a week, and then his father died very suddenly in a tragic accident. And he wasn't American. He was from Europe, so we had to fly back to Europe. Because it was such a sudden death, you know, there was no will. There was just so much to deal with and so much to process on his part. But the kind of through line through his grieving was just like, am I going to lose my job for taking my bereavement when I just started? And that's just such a real fear, but also just so dirty. I don't know. It just came to mind as I started ruminating on how we interact with grief in America. So I started to just, you know, do a little bit of Googling, and I found that in 2022, there was a new mental distress that was added to the most recent edition, I guess at the time. I don't know if it's the current edition, but that recent edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And that syndrome is called prolonged grief disorder, where their everyday functioning is inhibited by grief that persists for an unreasonable duration following the loss of a loved one. The American Psychiatric Association, the benchmark for grieving is a year for adults and 6 months for children, which is just absolutely bonkers to me in and of itself. I mean, I lost my dog. I mean, in a very tragic accident, an old friend's dog attacked her. But that was last May, and my family's still dealing with our grief around that loss, and I can't even imagine what else that could have been, you know? And just to say that the reasonable amount of time is a year or 6 months for a child is just, I think, a product of the society that we live in, you know? There's no entitlement to bereavement in the country. There's no PTO for bereavement or funerals. We live in a pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, keep calm and carry on, you know, and grief is kind of, and just sadness is kind of like something that we don't look at too deeply in our country because it's uncomfortable. And that, I think, is very much a symptom of where we are under capitalism, you know? I looked a little further into this, and I found that paid protections for grieving, for bereavement and such, was a thing in the early 20th century, but for managerial workers, for owners, but not for the working class. So that became in the union fights in the early 1930s, that was a protection that was argued by unions. However, they weren't really won for a long time in bargaining agreements. Paid vacation was a mark of social status, and oftentimes if you were grieving, you had to use your paid vacation, which is still true for many people today, I should add. But the fight for this was deprioritized with the purge of communist activists and the witch hunt in the late 40s and the 1950s. So all arguments that unions had kind of were pushed down to third and fourth contract bargaining, which were rarely successful if they were argued at all. There was other things that were prioritized, and I think importantly so, but it's tough, you know, because like people don't plan for loss. Nobody ever plans for loss. So it's something that should be part of the deal, but people do plan for vacation. So that's obviously more prioritized, but I think, I don't know, that's a whole other conversation. But beyond that, you know, the time that was won, which when it was eventually won, was a 3-day standardized bereavement limit, which I believe is still true today. I mean, it depends on your company, obviously, but often people don't even have bereavement if it is. And it's also very heteronormative. It doesn't allow, I mean, it only allows for like the nuclear family, which is, you know, spouse, child, siblings. It doesn't, oftentimes parents, if you're an adult, or grandparents aren't included in that immediate family. If you are in a non-straight relationship. Those partnerships don't count. If you lose a close friend, that doesn't count. And these are all, and it's not just loss as well. I mean, grief comes in many different ways, you know, and it could be, I don't know, it could be a number of different things, but unfortunately, it seems to be a luxury in this anti-labor world, essentially. I think personally, in my opinion, it boils down to respect. There's no real work-life balance, you know, because work comes above life and it comes above law, or love, rather, in this country. It's a very neoliberal world, and yeah, like I said, it's a luxury that people can't afford to have. I don't know. I think we should be allowed to grieve, and we should be allowed to process in our own time, and that shouldn't necessarily be a disorder to process for a long amount of time, and it shouldn't be looked down upon to need to take the time that you need, because I think it boils down to prioritizing self and prioritizing your life and prioritizing the love that you share with your community above the dollar and above the work that you do. I don't know. And I think it also, and beyond just like losing like the grief of loss, but like I think we're collectively grieving. Like, it's hard to look at what's happening in Palestine and Sudan and Myanmar and other places and not feel just a significant loss and apathy, because, or not apathy, that's the wrong, just like just pain and sadness for what's happening, and I guess apathy for what's happening in our government. But I guess that kind of comes down to my opinion on nihilism, which is that I hate it. I think nihilism is such a cop-out. But that's another conversation for another time. I think as the laborers, as labor unions, start to gain more ground, hopefully they'll continue to do so. I mean, I think it's something that we as people should support and get behind in any way that seems feasible that we can to us, but just to appreciate loss and appreciate grief and appreciate time, you know, people deserve to give themselves time to mourn and in time to grieve, you know. Socialism is about, you know, coming to terms with the demands made on all of us by the suffering of others. And I think that includes the way that we interact with and process and share grief. I feel very Eeyore-y right now with this, with the weather and my super bummer topic. I think it's, I don't know, it's important to me. It's probably important to you too. I'm sure we all experience some sort of pain and some sort of loss in life, and we deserve to deal with that in the way that we should be allowed to, with the time that we deserve and with compassion. And we aren't inherently allowed that right now in America. And I mean, in most capitalist societies, I suppose, not all. I don't really have a way to end that. It's just, it's something that I've been thinking about. If you have any strong opinions, or you share my opinions, or you disagree with me, hit us up. We can talk about it further at a meeting, or you can email us. All of our information is on Capital District DSA.org, I think is what it is. I'll look that up in the next music break. Or you can hit us up on Instagram, CoGreenDSA. That goes directly to Bill and I. But let me play something that I love that is not as depressing as the topic at hand.
Thank you.
That was Avalon Emerson with Sandrell Silhouette, also an incredible album, and The Charm. That's all the time that I have. That's all I prepared for tonight as well. So thanks for tuning in. Tune in next month. That'll be May 7th. And that will be just post-noir. He and I are trading places. I will be traveling and he will be heading us into May. And we will join back together in June. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to learn more about Capital District DSA, you can find us at capitaldistrictdsa.org. And we'll see you next month.
The way I act don't seem like me. I'm not on top like I used to be. Well, I give in when I know I should be strong. I still give in even though I know it's wrong. Know it's wrong.